Welcome to the first episode of Foul Territory.
Yes, John, it's our first venture into this wonderful electronic age. It's a newborn babe being released into the wild.
And this is an exciting time for us. We've been contributors to a baseball blog site for several years working together. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
That's me.
And
we write about baseball, we talk about baseball, and now we're going to talk about baseball into people's ears other than our own.
Right. Other than instead of pontificating to each other, we'll pontificate so that the world or two or three people hear what we have to say.
Yes. To thousands of readers, though, we pontificate.
We
I
do.
I might add. But readers read with eyes, and now we can only hope they read with their ears, John.
And they want to read with their ears. They probably have less time to read these days than they do to listen. So hopefully they will listen with their ears and spend less time reading with their eyes.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. And this is the first show, so we're figuring it all out as we go, and we hope that it will get much, much better. Our witty banter will be much more precise as time goes on, but I think we're ready to give this thing a run.
Yeah, so we want to tell everyone, like, hey, this is our little show. We're going to talk about the week in baseball and what's going on in bigger issues in baseball and some other stuff, too, just because, tangentially speaking, stuff happens.
Right, tangential. When you say tangential, you mean things that are completely irrelevant to baseball but of interest to you.
Those are tangents, John.
Yes, tangential.
They're loosely based in the same reality of existence as baseball, therefore they are connected.
Absolutely. It's good enough for me because if it's something that you're interested in talking about, I'm interested in listening.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I don't know if the feeling is mutual, but we will find out.
We will. The feeling is mutual with me or with the audience?
I meant the audience.
Okay, that's fine. So let's kind of move a little bit into the whole process that we went through.
Foul
the
territory.
Process. Wait, how we got there? How did we come up with this silly name?
Well, the thing about naming a baseball podcast is that all the really good ones are taken. Even Breaking Balls, which is the name of my column on Through the Fence Baseball, was taken. Guys and Balls, taken. I thought for sure that would be available because I was thinking we could do baseball and also like a little bit of Broadway review because no one's doing that. But we sort of settled on Foul Territory after going through quite a few interesting names. But we were like, you know, you're trying to use like a baseball term, right? Because people can identify it's a baseball podcast, but then it's either taken or it doesn't quite hit the nail on the head, you know, like you get something like Bad Hops, the Bad Hops podcast, but then it's like, well, maybe that's about beer,
right?
Crowding the Plate, that sounds like it's a food thing. We're not doing food, though. I like food.
Well, you know, we could somewhere down the road, if we chose that name, could have combined food and, you know, ballpark food and baseball, but then we'd have to go out to many ballparks and sample food.
Yeah, we'd be limited to Safeco and Dodger Stadium.
Right, right, for now. For
and
now.
Angel until this Stadium.
Until this is a wildly successful podcast, then we had advertising revenue galore, then we could travel the country, you know, do road trips and all that stuff. Well, we're getting off on the thing that we talked about that we didn't want to do in the first podcast, which is go off on just completely bizarre tangents. So let's move into headlines. That's really where we want to kick things off.
Let's do it.
So there's a whole bunch of things that we can talk about, but we're going to limit it to a handful of things that are kind of topical in the news within the last week. So let's start off with one of the bigger news stories of the week, which was Dee Gordon's suspension for PED use.
Yes, big news, but diminutive player.
Absolutely. And I think the point there is you don't have to be a superstar slugger or flamethrower to be a suspect or convicted, if that's the right word, of abuse.
Well, wasn't the first guy that was ever caught was, I think, Neftali Feliz, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't find a smaller human being on the planet than Neftali Feliz. Like, he works the Lollipop Guild.
So what do you think the impact of something like this, even though it's not a big name player, it is a player who won the batting crown last year, and what does the impact mean to baseball in general, and what do you think it means for the Marlins?
Well, I mean, as you may remember, I wrote an article about how much I loved D. Gordon back when he was with the Dodgers, but I just love him. I love guys who are that fast, and I thought he was a little undersized at the time, and I was hoping he would grow into it, though hopefully more organically. But it's, you know, I don't really think the Marlins were really in it this year. I think they're trying to put some pieces together. I mean, Yelich is really starting to come around, and Marcell Ozuna is starting to hit. He started off a little slow, but now the ball is jumping off his bat, and of course there's Stanton. But you know, it's tough. I mean, I like that it's a small guy that got busted, because it does prove that thing of, like, look, everyone's doing this. Not everyone, but enough. It's not just the Canseco's and the I don't know who else is the ripped dude that's accused. All the Braun,
McGuire, Sosa.
McGuire, Sosa, all the accusations, although some of those aren't just accusations. Right. Like, you know, it's guys are trying to get an advantage, and I wish that they weren't cheating, but I totally understand it. The financial incentives for D. Gordon, who looked like he was not going to be a major league player and now has a $50 or $60 million contract guaranteed under his belt, it's hard to see. It's hard to argue the logic of not doing it. Like, if you're failing, you're failing.
Right. And David Sampson was not too pleased when they had to make that announcement after they had a sweep of the Dodgers. Instead of it being a celebration, it was a kind of somber mood in the clubhouse after that game.
Yeah, a sweep of the Dodgers where D. Gordon figured prominently in the production.
Yes, yes. Especially in that last game.
Yeah. So it's tough, but, you know, he takes his 80-game lumps. And I see the people talking about on Twitter and on ESPN about, oh, there should be stiffer penalties. Like, yeah, all right, whatever. Just do the 80 games.
But it's interesting, too, how we have come to expect this now that the game is being regulated. And an 80-game suspension was last week's news, and now we're on to something different.
Like, yeah, the NFL's like that, though. Like, mm-hmm. No one cares if a player gets busted for steroids, so why should we care in baseball? Because it's America's pastime, because it's the grand old tradition. Like, it's sports. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and a guy's trying to get his slice. And I wouldn't do it myself, but then I'm not in the position, so maybe I would.
Right, and I think that's the big thing with that is, you know, when you're faced with somebody up the line who is using, do you need to participate in order to compete to earn the spot on the big league roster or the 40-man roster? So, yeah, I can see that there is pressure within the system, but I don't remember what coach said this or manager said this over the past weekend, but said that there will always be cheating in baseball because people will always be looking for an advantage for that very competitive reason. It's unfortunate, but it is part of the game.
Exactly. Exactly. Like that guy that got busted at the Petco Stadium, the guy who was reading the catcher's signals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. You know, and Toronto's been known for doing that forever. And, like, it's just trying to gain an edge, you know, it's baseball.
Part of it is there are unwritten rules and there is an awareness of what is acceptable and isn't acceptable, like using foreign substances on baseballs when it's cold weather. That's usually acceptable as long as you're not, you know, blatant with it. But this is a little bit different,
you know,
when you're doing something like that. Let's keep the headlines moving along. Let's move on to some big news that just came out today about Pablo Sandoval and his potential. Well, not, I guess it's no longer potential. It's a given fact that he's going under the knife.
Yeah, so he's going to be out, it looks like, maybe for the whole season. And the real danger here is what's going to happen to the all-you-can-eat buffets in the Boston area, because they may be put out of business.
It's very possible that Sandoval could be moving his eating habits to another location as a result of his rehab post-surgery.
Well, they were talking about trading him to San Diego, right? Doing like a contract mm-hmm. dump. I think as recent as a week ago, there was talk of like a Matt Kemp for Pablo Sandoval, and there was some catcher talk or a pitcher, I think, at the beginning of the season, Tyson Ross, and he got injured. You know, like a salary dump thing like the Red Sox did with the Dodgers a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad. He's always been such a lovable character. I mean, he's on the Giants, and everyone loves the panda. But man, you're a professional athlete. It's funny. It's the opposite of D. Gordon, because like here's D. Gordon doing everything he can to succeed in the league,
right?
And then Pablo Sandoval shows up with at least three stomachs in spring training, it's just a shame.
You would have thought after the poor performance last year that he would have made a concerted effort to be in even better shape. But it had, 3 years ago, I think it was, that he came to camp trimmed down and he did not perform well?
Yes. So they figured out that he needed a little bit of Sandoval-ness in order to be able to play the way he plays. And then he got his big contract and then he just let it go. But he was noticeably larger.
He even broke his belt in a preseason at bat. So that was a clear indicator. When something like that happens and it makes the headlines on the national sports news networks, that's a kind of an indicator that you're being looked at for things other than baseball.
Yes, and it's delightful. Honestly, it's delightful. I wish that there were more big players like that, because I'm a big guy and it's kind of like, hey, look, if he can make millions of dollars, maybe there's something right with this world. Because you never see a guy like that playing basketball.
Well, Charles Barkley did towards the end of his career.
Fair enough.
Get a little bit in the roundish mode, but not quite Sandovalian.
Never Sandovalian.
Okay, let's move on. We've got some more headlines to cover here. Let's talk a little bit about Joe Girardi calling the kettle black.
Yes. Yeah, so he's decided that he thinks that shifting infielders and so forth is bad for baseball, and if he could, he'd ban them from baseball. And you got to figure this is just a reaction to like all the old Yankee players that are now hitting, who are all being shifted against, hitting into the shifts and not hitting well.
And I think last year the funny thing about it though is that the Yankees deployed the shift for the fourth most of any team in baseball.
Yeah, but the skinny on that is, and that's true, but the skinny on that is that that's Cashman pushing for that and that mm-hmm. Girardi. But, you know, like, whatever. Girardi, if you don't like it, don't do it. Like, you know, but I just don't think you should be saying, like, we should ban that, because technically the shortstop is naturally shifted. The existence of a person not playing on second base is a shift.
I think there's a couple of different arguments for that. Is that if you're a professional athlete being paid millions of dollars, you should spend a little bit of time in the cage and in the off season working on going the opposite way.
Yes. Well, I mean that's a big problem with the shifts is that the guys who just won't lay that bunt down the left, you know, down the third base line to get that easy base hit. You know, part of it is like, well, if I change my swing, then, you know, I'm taking away from my ability, and then hasn't the shift already won if you've done that, if you're now not swinging your natural way?
So do you empathize at all with Girardi, or do you think he's full of hot air?
I think he's got a losing team, and he's running his mouth because he doesn't know what's going on with his team. I think this is like the craziness that a manager starts spouting when their team's losing and he can't quite figure it out.
But as a fan of the game, I think the whole idea of playing percentages and taking away potential offense hurts the game a little bit. I'm not a huge fan of the shift because things, you know, you're seeing line drive, was at the Mariners Royals game, and there was a hot smash that normally is a base hit, and Omar Infante made an incredible play and threw the runner out at first base. It was a great defensive play, but he, you know, took away a hit.
Yes, but it
normally would be a hit.
But conversely, and not to be like, John, you're wrong, but you're a little bit wrong, because you know, shifting players around also gives players hits if they are willing to take advantage of it. Mookie Betts hit a line drive to the second baseman a few days ago. And there was no second baseman there because he was shifted over. It turned into a triple. But if there was a second baseman there, it's a line drive out, and that's the end of the inning.
Yeah, but that thing goes into the whole thing of percentages.
Yes.
So they're willing to say that if 80% of the time a player is going to hit always to the left side, are always to the right side. They're always, you know, we deploy the ship because the percentages say that. So 2 times out of 10, you're going to get a player who goes the opposite way by, I would assume, not by design, since most players are not of that mindset, which I think is stupid.
That's the thing, though, right? Like, it's stupid. Like, learn to hit the other way so they don't shift you.
It changes the game for sure.
Said the guy who doesn't play baseball and is telling professional major leaguers to learn how to hit the other way.
That's right.
After years of having tried.
Yeah, it's the same. You know, you go into the same conversation about in any sport. And the most recent example from the NFL last year was with the Carolina Panthers. If you want to shut them up in all their activity, beat them.
Yeah.
So it's a similar situation, is that we can't complain too much about it. I'm a purist in the sense that I don't like it because it doesn't look like baseball. It kind of looks like softball to me. But I understand why you do it, because the numbers say to do it. So I get it from that perspective, and it is a part of the game. So if it is a part of the game and the game is shifting into something like that, more players should spend the time to learn to hit the other way.
Yes, but they've been shifting for years. They shifted for Ted Williams, so... That's how purist are you going? You going like 1890s?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't an everyday thing.
No, it wasn't an everyday thing. And there are still some teams that aren't doing it every day.
Right, so. It's a part of the game that we're not going to see change. It's just not going to be a rule change thing.
Also, you couldn't really write a rule, right? Like, because then it's like, well, how do you determine if someone has shifted?
Yeah, they can shift as far as there an imaginary line that goes from home plate through second base.
What if we started putting lines on the field, John?
Yeah, let's
just
do
like
that.
Just every so different, like 5-degree angles all the way across.
Right. It's like a goalie box. You can't leave it.
Now I'm in.
Yeah. Okay. We can make it in different colors too.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and it'd be like. It would be like a pinball game in some ways. You could have all these different, you know, designs on the field and different areas.
Yeah, like the MTV had that, right? And there was a 5-run home run.
Yes,
but it was
yes,
in play.
That was great. That could be something that could be fun.
John, I didn't think we were really going to do anything important, but it does look like we may have fixed baseball.
And we may be doing this on a weekly basis too, so people should tune in.
Yes.
Speaking of people who have completely tuned out, how about Curt Schilling?
Okay, so. First of all, I'm a Red Sox fan. Sorry, people who aren't Red Sox fans. And I apologize for other Red Sox fans that are terrible. But I'm a good Red Sox fan. But here's the thing. I love this guy, but man, oh man. Just constantly with like the bankruptcies and the saying stuff. And like, you're a public figure, man. You don't get to just say whatever you want, regardless of what was he saying? Like, is he going out the door? And he's just like, oh, there's a whole bunch of racists over at ESPN. And
like, well, the great comment was, well, I didn't post it. I just commented on it.
Yeah. So
it's like, really? So you're propagating this in social media in a way that shows your opinion in a way that is also demeaning, and you're saying, what? I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, and he has every right to have his opinion, but he should also know that he represents a major corporation which is owned by other corporations, and if they don't like his opinion, then they may choose to fire him. And he has pushed the line and pushed the line and pushed the line, and they finally fired him. I don't think it was just the one incident. I think it was sort of all the incidents with him.
Oh, and there's been numerous incidents.
It's a little embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. And it's something where you'd think that he would eventually look in the mirror and say, okay, I can be a public persona or I could be a crotchety old dad. Which one am I going to be and which one is more fulfilling for me? And it seems like the crotchety old dad is the one who won.
You know, time always wins. So.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, too, it's not a big loss. You know, and they were saying that he was one of the highest paid analysts at ESPN, which I find hard to believe.
I mean, I find it easy to believe because the entertainment industry is bonks. But as much as I love him as a Red Sox fan, I do not think his analysis was particularly helpful.
Yeah, he was kind of nails on a chalkboard type of person to me. I just he did get, especially, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but after the surgery thing, when he came back, he was very difficult to listen to because he was still going through the healing process. It's like, too soon, he's back too soon. Let's let him kind of get back, you know, up to speed. And during that time frame, he became much more grating to me. So I actually tuned out of watching ESPN Baseball Tonight and spent more time on the MLB Network as a result of that. But that's my opinion. So,
well, the coast is clear now, John.
Yeah, I can go back. I can go back. Yes. Tim Kirchen's going to be so happy.
You can tune into some other garbage former player who shouldn't be announcing, who has no skill or talent whatsoever, but used to play baseball.
There's plenty of those coming down the pike. I'm sure we'll have plenty to pick from as time goes on. And they do that on MLB Network. They parade some people out there, and it's I think it's kind of like, well, let's see what they got. Some are good, some are not so good.
I wish they were a little quicker with the trigger, though.
Yeah. Let's see. Moving on, we have moved into kind of the rookie call up. Season where we're, you know, whether it's a cup of coffee to see if they can, it's almost like they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, they're trying to get Syndergaard, right? They're hoping to.
Yeah,
do
so
what
we've
the Mets
got
did last
we've got people like Jose Barrios coming up, Aaron Blair, Michael Fulmer, Sean Manea, I was working hard at
you
getting
say
name,
Manea,
right.
I say Manea.
There we
Let's
go.
Let's just move on.
And then most of these guys who have been coming up, including tonight, Mike Foltynewicz with the Braves.
Folty.
Folty. We'll call him Folty because that's much easier to say.
Yes.
But these guys have been wrapped around pretty hard during their debuts.
Barrios had a nice game tonight, though, 5 walks.
Oh, that's good.
Seven strikeouts in 5 innings, but 5 walks.
Yeah, that's not going to keep you.
No.
Up in the pros very long.
But he all of a sudden had that. Last season in the minors, I know we're not like, you know, doing the farm report. Farm report. But last season, he didn't have a problem with walks. But this season in the minor leagues, he suddenly started having trouble with walks. I don't know if he's trying to get more strikeouts and getting a little, picking around the edges. And he's come up to the majors and he's having trouble with walks. So I wouldn't be surprised if they send him back down, but the Twins need something to give them a boost, and he won the game tonight.
But it is interesting, though, because there isn't a superstar breakout waiting in the wings type of player. These are all names that you kind of watch filter through the minor leagues, but there's no surefire waiting in the wings type of player this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's, Julio Urias and Lucas Giolito still in the minors, and they might come up at the end of the season if the teams need them for like some bullpen help or whatever. But yeah, these guys are sort of like the second tier of guys, and Blake Snell is in that group too. And one of them could be an ace. The rest of them could be number two starters, and you know, a couple of them will wind up in the bullpen.
And what usually forces the hand, and most of these guys are coming up because it's early season and schedules get screwed up by, you know, rain and weather-related challenges. And
But not
and
too early, injuries. John. Not so early that they start their arbitration clock.
That's right. That's why most of them, you know, had waited this long.
Yes.
But I think what you'll see happen is someone will break out or at least have a nice run due to an injury where they're called up and forced into service time.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is that Michael Fulmer's up to stay. The Tigers need pitching. He's better than Mike Pelfrey. He's better than injured Shane Green. And he's probably better than injured Derek Norris when Derek Norris is uninjured. So basically, he's the number four starter as is. I think he stays up all season. The other guys, I could see them sending Manaea back down just because Billy Bean likes to play with the roster and get that service time stuff, you know, tweaked. And Aaron Blair and Folty, we're going to call him Folty. The Braves are a mess. They have a great farm system, but I don't think those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, hopefully it has something to do with the new stadium. They're 2 years away from getting it figured out, but
ripping off the populace of the Georgia area. Yeah.
It's kind of sad though to see a storied franchise like that go from relevant 2-3 seasons ago to a doormat with no apparent. I mean, pitching, it all comes down to pitching. They have a lot of young position players that will probably pan out, but they're going to take 2 to 3 years to mature and get to the big leagues and be fully productive players. But the pitching is what is so hit or miss.
Yeah, that's – well, there's that old expression, right? There's no such thing as a pitching prospect.
Right.
Just because the fail rate is so high on them. And but they do – again, they do have great position players. Dansby Swanson, who they stole from Arizona in the in the Shelby Miller trade, and what's his, Ozzy Albies.
Yeah.
Another great shortstop. So they have two great shortstops coming.
Yeah, they definitely fleeced the D-backs with that trade.
Yeah, I mean, any one of the players that they got would have been a fair trade for Shelby Miller, and they got three. Pretty incredible.
Well, I think Dave Stewart's comment over the weekend was that he's trying too hard. The pressure of the trade is having too much of an impact on him.
Sure.
It makes sense, but it's like, put on your big boy pants and go out and do your job. You're being paid millions to do it.
Yeah. I mean, also, you know, the Arizona is a hitter-friendly park, and, you know, comes from Atlanta where it wasn't hitter-friendly. So it's an adjustment there. I think he'll wind up evening out, but it's a mess right now. And the Braves clearly won that trade, though I do again wonder if they'll know what to do with the great assets they've come across.
Speaking of the Braves, and I could insert a very insensitive joke here, but I won't. Let's talk a little bit about the news this week of the lawsuit from the family of the man that was killed at Turner Field last season.
Oh, right. So he was intoxicated. For those of you who don't know, that means drunk, which does happen at baseball games. And so they
frequently.
Yes. Yes. It's part of the game, I guess. But OK, so you have these rails, right? And so the rails stop humans from falling over, or in this case, most humans from falling over, a very high percentage. And so what the lawsuit is saying that it should have been 4 inches higher.
12
and
inches.
That. What's 12 that? Inches. 12 more inches?
30 to 42.
Okay, they want to go for... Okay, so, all right. So what I was reading was that the minimum is 26. That's the legal minimum for the rails, and that the Braves had it at 30. Mm-hmm. So, because, of course, you have a sight line problem, right? If you put it up too high, then people are looking at a railing bar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I feel bad for this guy's family and stuff, though I got to tell you, you're going out a winner. You know, you're at a baseball game, you're drunk, he's in his 60s. That's a hell of a way to go. Plus, there's going to be a settlement and the family will make a few million dollars. But don't raise the bars.
And I think the bigger picture thing with that, too, is that there's a lot of different things that go into something like that. And when you think of the millions of people every year that go to ball games, and, you know, you're talking about everything that goes on in a ball game, people standing, people cheering, people getting excited, people fighting, people doing the wave, people drinking, doing the wave and fighting. All of those things, you would think that there would be more serious type of injuries. All you have to do is walk out of the turnstiles after a baseball game to hear the crowd, whether they're the winning team or the losing team, and the drunken revelry that's going on. Certainly, yes, absolutely, there's families and children, but there is a certain element of that kind of 20 to 30 to 50 to 60 age person that goes to the ball game to have a good time and have a few beers, five beers, whatever it might be. And you would think that, you know, given the fact that all of those things happen on a daily basis, 82 times or 81 times per team at home each year, that there would be higher. So from that point of view, when this does happen, it's an isolated incident. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to the family. It's a terrible thing that happened, but it's terrible
depending on how much money they get. Then it's like, well, it's really bad, but
But it's just like with hockey when they put up the nets because one person got hit in the head, and it was a serious injury.
Yes.
I don't think it was a death. I think it was a serious injury. As a result of that, it's such a random event. And I do understand the whole idea of security, but I used to go to hockey games and I hated sitting behind that net. It was it's like, forget. I don't even like to sit behind home plate at a baseball game because I don't like watching through the screen.
Yeah. Well, didn't they just extend, a lot of the stadiums extended their nets this year.
Yes.
I remember reading an article a couple years ago when I was getting into some baseball history stuff, and there was a story about a man who was killed in the stands because a foul ball hit him while he was sharpening his pencil with a knife, and then the knife stabbed himself in the chest.
Ouch.
I don't know who gets sued on that. The knife company? The pencil company? It's pretty old-timey, though. That's going way back. That's like the 20s, but like not the 2020s, not from the future.
Right, the 1920s. Right. Going way back.
Yeah.
Way back. Okay, let's move on to a couple more before we move on to the next segment. Let's talk a little bit about how crazy goofy the Cubs have been so far in their run production.
Okay, so I did the math on this. They are currently 83 runs in the positive. So they've outscored their opponents by 83 runs. They are basically on pace to outscore their opponents by 600 runs this year. And you know what's funny is I ran these numbers last week, and last week they were on pace for 600 runs. So they've maintained the pace. It's not like some weird one-week thing where like, oh, if he hits a home run in the first game, he's going to hit 162. This team is destroying people. Mm-hmm. It is laying waste to everyone. It might be the best team assembled in the last 20 years.
And it's been a combination of great pitching, great bullpen, great starting pitching, great bullpen, and obviously timely run production.
Yeah, and Dexter Fowler going out of his mind.
Yeah.
The biggest war of any player in the league right now. Just crazy.
No one predicted that one.
Like, he came begging for a job. Like, no one wanted
him. Yeah.
Oh, we don't want to give up a draft pick for the, you know, basically one of the top five players in the league. Okay.
Yep. A lot of people kicking themselves for not pulling the trigger on him.
The Angels?
Yes.
Angels were right there, but no, Artie Moreno doesn't want to go over the tax threshold. Okay, right. But you're going to give away Josh Hamilton. Sounds good.
And now I'm hearing rumors that the Angels are a good place for Ryan Braun to land. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
That would push them over the tax threshold.
Okay, here, going off on a little bit of a tangent, the desperation to build a team around Mike Trout while he's still Mike Trout. You know, young Mike Trout as opposed to 35-year-old Mike Trout.
But they do have a long time with him, right? They have him for 10 years or 9 more years. So it's – they can mess around for a couple of years. And,
yeah, but I also remember back in 1980 – I think it was 1983 when the Dolphins went to the Super Bowl with Dan Marino in his rookie or second year and never went back again.
Well, Angels aren't going to want to hear about that. I'm trying to be positive here, John. You know me. I'm about positivity.
And the Angels are in your backyard. So
they are in my backyard, yes.
Get off my lawn, Angels!
They're in Anaheim, not Los Angeles.
That's true.
One of the greatest things in the world, because I know how much people in Orange County hate being connected to Los Angeles, when Artie Moreno renamed that team, just so perfect. So perfect. The vitriol, for the self-inflicted vitriol for Orange Countyans. Fantastic.
And the official name is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Yes.
Is that the official name?
That's the official name. Because of contractual obligations. And they just got around it. Good for them.
Yeah, there's plenty of other teams that would fit into that similar category as not being in the locale of their said name.
Yeah, and I actually don't particularly mind a team doing that, where you have a New York team that plays in New Jersey. I mean, that's a separate state. I just love that I know people in Orange County hate being associated with Los Angeles. It's just perfect. It's just perfect. So their favorite team, they're like, no, I hate the Dodgers. The Dodgers are Los Angeles. Like, sorry, pal. Now the Angels are. And no one in LA really cares.
Okay, we got to keep this thing moving along if we intend to keep this under 60 minutes, which is our goal.
Well, let's jump to the starting nine.
Okay, we can do that.
Here's a new segment on
it's
our
new
first
segment.
Show.
It's so a new segment on our new show.
Everything's a new segment. But starting nine. Starting nine. Number nine. These are all copyrighted songs that we can't use.
Right,
so we
can't use.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, so I had this idea of let's come up with, we'll take a topical thing going on, and then we'll take nine baseball players who have names that fit that sort of thing. So it's a political thing going, and then you say, all right, so someone with a political name, like Ian Kennedy, right? So like, it's all Kennedy, right? See, John F. Kennedy, he's a political thing. Anyway, so premiere episode, premiere segment reveal, starting nine, tribute to our fallen prince, one of the great music legends of all time, baseball players with musician-y names.
And I think it you kind of kicked off the first one there, which is a simple one, Prince Fielder.
Yes, Prince Fielder. That's a good one.
That's an easy one that comes to the top of the head. And if we had if this was live and we could have people dial in, we could ask them to dial in or tweet us, you know, who you would have on your list. But this is recorded, so we'll have to go with us trying to figure it all out as we go.
Yes.
But I'm not quick on the draw to think of all those. So the only other one that's kind of come into my mind right away is Carlos Santana.
Oh, and I would say that was a smooth answer, John.
I guess you could go.
See
with
what I did there with smooth?
Yes.
Because
yes.
The Carlos Santana song.
And how about Edwin Jackson?
Okay, yeah. Very famous Jacksons. Well, here's
okay,
the thing.
There's a ton of Jacksons. Reggie, I mean, that was an easy. There's a ton of Jacksons, and I come up with Edwin.
But, you know, he's topical. Maybe we try to keep it with players in the game.
Okay, we can do that.
I'm good with that.
Okay, I'm assuming that you probably have a few more on the top of your head.
Okay, so here's the thing. Let's talk about the Texas Rangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Elvis Andrews.
There you go.
Right? Cole Porter Hamels. Am I right?
Yeah, or Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole, double Cole.
Double Cole. Cole squared.
Cole squared. Who else is there? Roughnet or... Rugged, many musicians do have odor. That's not quite what we're doing here. Here's one. Leonis Martin. No, he's on the Mariners. But still, yeah. Ricky Martin.
Ricky Martin.
Okay, let's get off the Rangers because I think I just blew my load with the Cole Hamels thing. Matt Carpenter, right? The Carpenters.
Yes, that's good.
What do we have now? Is that five? I don't want to do more than
I had
nine.
Three. I think you've just named like four more. So
Sonny Gray, Sonny and Cher, right?
Sonny, yeah. Wow, we could probably do this for quite a while.
You know what? We can do this all night, John, and we just might.
we could probably do it every show. The starting nine could always be about music, and we'll be challenging ourselves.
I feel like we should diversify
a little bit.
I feel like the key to segments like this is diversification.
No,
Marky Mark Trumbo.
What was that?
Marky Mark Trumbo.
Marky Mark Trumbo. Wow, every player named Mark fits that. That's a good one.
But I think Trumbo works particularly well.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
What is that? That's eight, right? Maybe we should write these down.
Yeah, we probably should. Maybe in the future we'll keep track of them so that we know that we've hit our nine, and we may even have room for a few reserves on the bench.
I got one more. Drew Hutchison.
Okay.
Scott Hutchison, lead singer of Frightened Rabbit. Now, to everyone listening, both of you, you don't know who that is, unless it's my mom. My mom knows who Frightened Rabbit is. So, hi, Mom.
Or anybody who follows you on Facebook.
That's right. Facebook, Twitter. I'm very much into the Frightened Rabbit. Their new album's out. It's amazing. Check it out. But Drew Hutchison, Scott Hutchison, boom. Starting nine.
How about a shameless plug? They're also on the soundtrack of...
That's right. They're also on the soundtrack of my film, Nowhere Girl. They play the title track and then a song sort of, I don't know, 20 minutes into the film. They have two songs in there. It's a fantastic bunch of guys, amazing music, and really just dynamic contribution to the film. Very appreciated.
And for those of you who don't know, Jed is the writer-director of Nowhere Girl.
That's right. It's a romantic comedy sort of thing that is available on iTunes, Amazon, and wherever fine books are sold.
Okay, let's move on to another brand spanking new segment.
Yes, what is it?
It's three up, three down.
Oh, yes, right. Sorry. I wrote the notes on that. I should have remembered.
Okay, I'm so glad you did remember, because it would have been a very short, awkward segment if you did not remember what we were supposed to talk about.
No. I remember it now. It's as if it was earlier today that I wrote it down and sent it to you.
Okay, good.
Okay, so three up, three down. So three players this week that are up and three that are down. Pretty simple. I don't think it needs a theme song, though we'll work on it. Something like three up, three down. Sometimes you're feeling up, sometimes you're feeling down. Who knows who's going to be on the list?
Three up, three down.
Yes! Yes!
And maybe we should have like a little bit of a snare in the background.
Exactly, right? It's kind of a jazzy.
Yeah, I'm feeling a jazz vibe.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't love jazz by itself, but you integrate it with something interesting, and then now you're making a stew.
The smoke machine going, a low light.
Yes.
Maybe like a soft orangey color in the room.
Let's switch this over to a video podcast right now and just pull that off.
Okay, we'll work on it.
Okay.
Maybe for next, the three up, three down for the next episode, we'll have
all fix this. It in post.
Okay, absolutely. Okay, so who do you have on your list for the uppers?
Okay, so three up. First up, Giancarlo Stanton. Oops, am I getting a call?
Not from me.
Is that? Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
What's going on? This is so weird, John.
You're getting a phone call from Giancarlo Stanton?
I don't know. Do I have a? You don't hear that?
No, I don't hear anything.
I'm hearing Dancing Queen in my headphones.
Oh, wow.
And I have no idea where it's coming from. This is so weird.
I'm assuming that's not your ringtone?
No, not anymore. Okay, so I'm a professional, and I'm going to find a way to keep doing this. Like, you don't hear this.
Nope. You know what? It probably is on an open, one of the open windows that you have.
Well, I'm a professional, John, and I'm going to fight through Dancing Queen.
Maybe you can do it to the rhythm of the song.
To jump into this. We might want to edit this part out and just go.
No, I think we should go with the
really?
Flow.
Really?
I think we should go with the flow. So people realize that this is the real deal. We're not doing anything more than speaking from the heart and dealing with adversity. Like when we lost power at my building for 45 minutes just before we went to hit record today. So this is your little cross to bear. Is it still playing?
It stopped.
Okay, good. Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton. So started off a little slow. Had a great week last week. Didn't win player of the week. Hunter Pence did. But did Hunter Pence hit a three-run home run off the greatest pitcher in the universe? No. Giancarlo Stanton did. Won the game against the Dodgers with a huge bomb off of Clayton Kershaw.
And
number one up.
Yeah, and he also hit a few tape measure shots. I think he now has... leads the league in 460-foot home runs. He has twice as many as anybody else over the last several years.
He's a monster.
He's a monster. Number two.
Victor Martinez. And I got to say, I thought this guy was done. I thought, there's no way. I don't want to have anything to do with him in fantasy leagues. It just, the Tigers are screwed. And this guy has been on fire this week, lighting up everybody. Good for them. They're smarter at baseball than I am.
And that's why you're not being paid the big bucks.
Well, I'm not being paid the big bucks for baseball.
Right. For everything else you are. Okay, moving on. Number
medium bucks.
Medium bucks.
And then number three, Madison Bumgarner. Technically, you could say that there were a couple other pitchers that had better weeks, but he had a great week, and his velocity is back up to where it should be. 94, 93, instead of that 90, 91 garbage. That was looking a little scary, because that was the problem he had in the minor leagues, was he was a huge prospect, and then he just lost 4 miles an hour on his fastball, and then it came back. So probably steroids, but who knows? Okay, that's probably not true.
Is there any kind of honorary love for maybe the fourth spot or 3B for Wade Miley?
No, not even
his shutout, complete game shutout.
No,
against the Royals. No.
No.
Okay, moving on. Three down.
Okay,
number one.
First up, Dallas Keuchel. Laid another turd out on the field today. I'm thinking there's something wrong. Look, there's some other terrible pitchers out there this last week. David Price, Shelby Miller, Zach Greinke. These guys are all just being garbage right now. My condolences to your fantasy teams if he's on them. But Dallas Keuchel won the Cy Young Award last year. And, man, if he just doesn't look like garbage. And I think he's had one good game. But there's something wrong with him. It's not like a BABIP issue, the batting average on balls in play. Like, he just likely
it's a location issue.
People are adjusting back to him, you know, because he was kind of came out of nowhere last year. So now maybe people are kind of taking him a little more seriously. Anyway, garbage. Next up, the Yankees offense. Most specifically, Carlos Beltran. And I don't know, all of them, but mainly Carlos Beltran, negative batting numbers compared to the rest of the league. Just they're having all kinds of trouble scoring. And it doesn't seem like there's a solution in sight other than just, hey, maybe they'll start hitting again. Because, you know, like Brett Gardner's having trouble and Brian McCann
A-Rod is hitting .170, I think.
Yeah, and Teixeira's on base percentage is okay, but his slugging is garbage, and he's either hitting home runs or striking out, and it's an ugly team right now, and this is what you get when you buy a team for the World Series, and when they won that World Series back in 2008, 2009, I think it was.
Yeah, they're riding this horse into the ground.
Yes. And, you know, in their favor, I guess, you can say that next year they should get under the tax threshold. But this year, even with the Dodgers running amok, the Yankees do have the highest paid player salary. Though I think the Dodgers have some, like, if you count the money they're paying to Matt Kemp or some other people, the Dodgers squeak ahead. But, man, this is an ugly team.
Well, I'm hoping that there's a mention of said Dodgers on your list because they have been absolutely horrid.
I'm glad you should ask, John. It just so happens, number three on our list, the Dodgers offense. Most specifically, Adrian Gonzalez. Puig gets a mention as well for also being terrible, but Adrian Gonzalez hasn't hit a home run in like 2 or 3 weeks. He's one for his last 25 or something like that, and that was a single. He's got a couple walks, but man.
And against the Marlins last week, he came to bat on four different occasions with two runners on base. I don't know if they were in scoring position. It might have been in scoring position and did not deliver. He was 0 for 4, left 8 runners in scoring position in that game. I don't know if that's been done very often, but that is not what you're expecting from that offense.
That's a deep funk.
That is a deep, deep funk.
Cue
the jazz.
George
music.
Clinton, like, funkadelic funk.
Yeah.
That's a reference,
maybe even more appropriate is some hardcore old-time blues.
Well, they are singing the blues. Though they went out and crushed San Diego yesterday, 1-0. Of course, Kershaw was pitching. And
Kershaw drove in the run.
Did provide the offense. So,
a one-man wrecking crew.
Give everyone the day off there.
Okay, we're down to our last 9 minutes.
Oh, great.
So we
let's go to extra innings,
along
man.
To the last segment of our first show is extra innings. So we're going overtime, and extra innings is a little bit different, right?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about stuff so much as just kind of mention some stuff that's going on in the world out there outside of baseball.
Which is, so for all of you who are like, screw that, the baseball segment is over, I'm out. It's worth it. Stick around. I think you will be entertained on a week-by-week basis. This is what made Jed famous on Through the Fence Baseball.
Yes, I think they might be entertained.
They might be entertained.
I'm going to couch it a little bit.
Okay. Or they might be disappointed, and if that case, there's always room for improvement with next week's extra innings.
Yes, I love notes, so please send them in.
Okay. Even if they're mean and nasty.
Well, if you like mean and nasty notes for Jed Rigney, go to IHateJedRigney.com. That is an actual website, and it is fantastic.
Oh, well, great. We'll make sure that we promote that weekly.
I'm just glad I was able to plug that as much as I plugged my motion picture.
I'm assuming that you don't own that URL.
I do, actually.
Oh, you do. Okay.
It's a fun thing I like to do.
Okay. Let's move on. Yeah. So the extra innings, the whole thing is that it's kind of like a rapid fire thing. Although, yeah, knowing us, it'll be not rapid fire, but kind of Luke or slow motion fire.
Yeah, we've already
bullet time
gotten rid
bullet
of the rapid fire nature of it with this introduction.
Okay, there we go. Let's move into extra innings. We're moving now. NFL draft, give me some.
Okay, so football, blah, blah, blah. Most baseball people don't really care. Some people think it's too violent, whatever. Highlight of the draft is Laremy Tunsil dropping in the draft from top 8 pick to, 15, losing about $7 million in the process because someone leaked a photo and video of him using a gas mask bong to inhale substances which are not permitted for young men who are aspiring football players to inhale. My favorite part of this whole thing is it turns out that the person who released it may have been his former financial advisor.
Yeah, former.
Yes. So a little bit of screw you. But I will say, good thing to get rid of that former financial advisor because he already cost him $7 million.
Yeah, it's not a very good advisor.
I guess he was just proving the point. Like, yeah, okay. Oh, you think I'm a terrible advisor?
Watch this.
Watch this.
Wow. Any other tidbits from the draft?
That's all I got. Patriots got screwed. Free Tom Brady.
Free Tom Brady. Okay, let's move. Is there anything else football related?
I got something with Brian Hoyer. Signed with the Bears.
Shoot. Okay.
Can't have enough bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's something that just probably resonated throughout Chicago.
Jay Cutler, hey, if things don't work out with Jay Cutler, or I guess I should say when things don't work out with Jay Cutler, bring in Brian Hoyer, and you had the same level of terribleness that you had with Jay Cutler. Good job, Bears.
Okay, let's move out of sports and into the entertainment world.
Yeah, so a couple interesting things this week. Diana Ross was injured in a car accident, though apparently she's fine. And she released a statement saying, as long as she knows how to love, she knows she's still alive. She will survive.
I don't think that's Diana Ross.
I think it is, John. Look it up.
I think it's Gloria Gaynor.
We're going to just have to agree to disagree on that one.
Okay. So Diana Ross is fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
Okay.
So she's got all her life to live. She's got all her love to give.
She will survive.
She will survive.
Okay, I'm sure there's more entertainment stuff that we can talk about. I'm hearing weird stuff about Will Ferrell backing out of a film.
Yeah, so Will Ferrell was supposed to be in the Ronald Reagan film that was supposed to be a little, edgy and controversial, where it's Reagan in his Alzheimer years, in his second term. And it's supposed to be a comedy that sort of plays off that thing. And there was huge backlash from the Reagan children and, people who...
It sounds like a horror movie, the Reagan
Children. The Reagan Children. It also sounds like a punk band, if you think about it.
It does.
But apparently, backlash from, all the people who don't like things like that are insensitive. Though I assume not too many Alzheimer's victims themselves, because if they heard the story, they probably forgot about it shortly afterwards. So, what was I going to complain about? Where are my keys?
Ferrell.
What's my name?
What's the name
of that actor that's in this movie? Wait a minute. What's my name? That's a little bit I just did there. all right. Last up, we have Bryan Adams has canceled a show in Mississippi because of the new anti-gay law in Mississippi, which my concern with this, John, I'm going to tell you right now, is it's just going to encourage more states to pass anti-gay laws to prevent Bryan Adams from performing in their states.
Cuts like a knife.
Look, Here's something about delivery, John. If you can laugh all the way through the punchline, then it's hilarious.
That was good. I was laughing.
I couldn't stop laughing. Poor delivery. Great joke.
Yeah, we'll polish those up.
I'll work on
the little things here.
But here's the thing, John. I can't tell you that if it's funny, I'm going to laugh. I can't tell you I won't laugh.
Well, here's something that's worth not laughing about, but worth celebrating, is that in our desire to produce a show in 60 minutes or less, we have actually come to that point where we're almost at 60 minutes. We're like around 56 minutes right now. So we can either go into like full wrap mode or kind of string it on for a couple of minutes. But I think given that we've hit
John,
on all the...
let me cut you off right there.
Go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Tune in next week. It'll probably be better, but maybe not.
We'll try. See you next week.
Bye.